بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب، ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآتى المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah that righteousness is not that you turn your face towards the east or the west, but righteousness is the one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the book, the prophets, and gives wealth in spite of love for it to relatives, orphans, the needy, the traveler, those who ask for help, for freeing slaves, to establish prayer, and give zakah. And those who wal mufuna bi ahadihim idha ahadu, who fulfill their promise when they promise, wasabirina fil ba'sa'i wad darra wa hina al ba's, and those who are patient in poverty or hardship and on the battlefield, ulaika alladhina sadaqu, those are the ones who are true, who have been true. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ, and those are the righteous. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says a very important reverberating statement here, which every ayah is, of course, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who fulfill their covenant, and then those are the ones who have been true. So after describing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. So we have to pay attention to this. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Those are the ones who are truthful. And this is a very important statement in our time. Who are the ones that are truthful? It's a quality throughout time in the history of mankind. If you think about it, you don't even need scripture. Any nation, any country, any tribe, even in the jungle, who is not what we say, quote, civilized, throughout the history of mankind, will realize and state that in their qawm, amongst their qawm, there has to be truthfulness. Mankind cannot progress without truthfulness. So it's something, you could say, quality. We don't need scriptures, we don't need education to prove that it's a quality that every human being understands, truthfulness, and expects it. So regardless of the background, you don't have to know or prove to anyone that being true is good, and the opposite, which is not being true, is not good. So everyone understands that. It's not even something that we have to learn from the elders or religious people to convince them to follow this. Even if you take it further, the analogy, take the worst criminal, whether it's in the prison system or on the street, and ask them what they think about lying. Even a criminal, for any other reason, will abhor someone who lies, because there's no movement of connection between human beings without the quality of truthfulness. So even in the jungle, we realize that lying is a bad quality. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given us a description of who these are, the truthful ones. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in addition, sayati ala nas sanawatun khuda'atun, there will come a time where there will be a lot of treachery, which means lying. Yusaddiqu fiha al-kadhib, the liar will be considered true by the people. وَيُكَذِّبُ فِيهَا الصَّادِقُ, and the truthful one will be considered the liar. وَيُؤْتَمَنُ فِيهَا الْخَائِنُ, The treacherous one will be trusted. وَيُخَوِّنُ فِيهَا الْأَمِينَ. And the one who is truthful or trustworthy will be called the treacherous one. وَيَنْتِقُ فِيهَا الرُّوَيْبِضَ. And the one who convinces people is the رُوَيْبِضَ. قِيلَ وَمَا رُوَيْبِضَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. When the Prophet ﷺ was explaining this, the Sahaba asked him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is Ruwaybida, Ya Rasulullah? Qala Rajul Tafi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, it's a man who is insignificant, a paltry individual, a Rajul Tafi. Now that two-word definition, a Rajul Tafi, someone who is insignificant, paltry, that would be a euphemism, a tafi, a vapid, insignificant person on one side, a trivial person, and on the extreme side, it could be a spineless villain. It could be a villain. رجل التافه. يتكلم في أمر العامة. So he speaks about the matters as if he knows them. You know, he's adamant in his speech. Now we can think of a lot of people in our time that fit this description. Obviously, in leadership, in politics, there will always be someone who fits this description. And you could say in our time, it's unlimited, the people who fit that description. But in terms of religious matters, we already had it happening where people who are atafit, insignificant, in terms of not having the rigor and studies and barakah from the ulama to receive ilm in the rightful places, are speaking on behalf of the deen. That has already been happening for many years. And now you could see with the YouTubers, those who get a lot of likes, they're getting that. Is it by being qualified as being ulama? No, it's just by what they're saying, they're getting more likes. You could say they also fit that description. So we have a mass confusion of people based on this description that Rasulullah ﷺ gave us over 1400 years ago. And you should think about it, how the Prophet ﷺ gave us such a stark description of our time. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. The Prophet spoke the truth, looking directly into our time. We're seeing it before us. So people who are totally ignorant of the deen can speak about it anytime they want. The demarcation line between who's who we should be learning from, is getting very blurred in every aspect and tier of society. And we can see that play out in the last year, especially in the medical field. You can see, why are politicians speaking when we all had our own doctors? Why are politicians speaking as if they are our doctor? And not only that, okay, forget about, we could say, okay, they're representing the standard of care, so this doctor is speaking on behalf of this city, and this doctor is going to get the position for it. It's not even that. It's we have international doctrines being placed upon us that are not even by the qualifications of a doctor, but a politician, or not even a politician, a nobody, رجل تافه. Who is Gates to tell us who we should listen to? Or even Fauci, the so-called doctor, who's never had patients. So we have to really wake up and realize the Prophet ﷺ explained our current condition in terms of exactly what we're seeing before us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us in Surah An-Nur, well, actually before that, let's do another ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Allahu la ilaha illahu la yajma'annakum ila yawm al-qiyamah la rayba fi wa man astaq min Allah haditha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no God but He, and indeed He will join you all together on Yawm al-Qiyamah. There's no doubt about this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says an amazing statement. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who is more truthful than Allah? Going back to this principle of veracity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, who is more truthful than Allah? So how could you doubt that there is no God but Allah? And how could you doubt that you will be gathered on Yawm al-Qiyamah? There's no doubt about this. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who's more truthful in the sight of Allah? But here we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us commandments. We know clearly what the rules, the sharia tells us to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no doubt in any Muslim who studied a little bit, the decor and decorum that a Muslimah should have, or even a Muslim male should have in terms of the haya, in terms of his attire, in terms of his dressing. We can understand and recognize a Muslimah in public. She's the one wearing hijab. But how many objections were there? It's one thing if you're not ready for it, but those who reject that a Muslimah should be wearing hijab, that's an entirely different category, a dangerous category. And then the niqab, even before COVID came, there were a lot of discussions and controversy about the niqab, right? Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who is more truthful than Allah? But when science and medical researchers say it, we're all wearing something like a niqab. So what is going on with mankind? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so now we have to relook at these ayahs. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. Who is more truthful than Allah? So now, if a government or a scientist tells us, no, pull out the entire suit that will protect you from the virus, everyone is ready to do it. But we made fun of those women who were wearing what they call burqa prior to COVID-19 coming. This should shame us all. But we're ready to do it because researchers and scientists tell us to wear these hazmat suits. But when a woman was doing it, we twist the talk around and say, why are we denigrating women? Why are we oppressing women? So we really have to understand that, because we have all lived in a time, we've seen both of this happening right before our eyes, and how twisted we are in making these statements up. وَمَنْ أَسْتَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. And who's more truthful in the sight of Allah? We use other words to explain our rationale behind the sharia, what it mandates. So, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam metaphorically said, as soon as the hijab goes away, you will see a disease spread. Meaning, When you don't see the ummah following the sharia, a disease will spread. That disease is called fahisha. What is the reason for the commandments of wearing hijab or dressing modestly? It's so fahisha. The disease of fahisha won't spread. So we understand an invisible disease, which no one has located, called a virus, but we don't understand the vulgar disease called fahisha, which we see everywhere, adultery and all kinds of degradation of mankind. We're actually in delusion to think so. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for sure that vulgarity, fahisha, would spread without the rules of the sharia. So we were questioning this. Why do we need to wear such conservative clothing? Forget about the hijab. We have all kinds of debates. Should the masajid, you know, even make it a mandate? Certain masajid may be discussing that. And that's the age that we were already living in before C-19 came. And the virus, this invisible virus, comes and everyone is ready to follow all the rules of the sharia. In fact, such that there are non-Muslims making fun of it and saying, why are we following Muslim mandates now? So everyone has twisted reasoning in this time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told the Muslimin what are the best investments that we have. And we had been doubting the sources of our creed. وَلِعَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ. So it's about truthfulness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had predicted that this is the era at the end of time where people who are trustworthy will not be trusted. And he said, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالصِّدْقِ. Hold on to the truth. Which means not just when we speak, it means in our interactions, in our demeanor, in our congruency with ourselves and our souls, with confirming the news. There are various layers of truthfulness. It's not just about just when we speak. We tend to forget about the stratus, the various tiers of being truthful. When we hear news, do we just report it?
No.
Exactly. Alhamdulillah. We have to verify it first. It's for a mu'min to not narrate. Because then if you hadn't verified it first as being true, you'll be counted as a liar because you helped someone else take in that news that was not true. Because you didn't do your due diligence. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said this hadith, alaykum bis-sidq, hold on to the truth and being truthful. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرْ, because truthfulness guides to righteousness, al-birr. وَإِنَّ الْبِرْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, and birr, righteousness, leads you to Jannah. وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَسْتَقُ وَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقِ, and a man doesn't stop speaking the truth and verifying that truth, حَتَّى يُكْتَبُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. So the one who verifies and investigates before narrating what he narrates is called صِدِّيق by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls that person the truthful person, who doesn't just repeat what he hears, but he verifies it ahead of time. So this applies to all of us who are just narrating so-and-so, and especially in this time, you have to really be careful what we continue to narrate. In every single science, I would say, obviously, especially the deen, but in our time, it applies to every single science. There is incompetency in medicine, in law, in every single institution and box building in the world right now, whether we had realized it or not. The judicial system, the school system, everything. We have to verify, are we passing on the truth?
No.
Or are we passing on just whatever we hear? You get 100%, Aiden. Alhamdulillah. Wa iyyakum. وَالْكَذِبْ, and beware of the one who lies. فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ, because the one who lies, he is guided to vulgarity. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ, and vulgarity leads to the fire. لِعَذِ بِاللَّهِ. وَمَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَكْذِبُ يَتَحَرَّى, and the one who keeps lying and continues to spread his lie, حَتَّى يُكْتَبُ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا, then he is the one who is called before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the continuous liar. So the opposite of siddiq is كَذَّاب. So it's the hyperbolic form. So if someone does it one or two times, they're not in the hyperbolic category. They made a mistake. But if someone does it regularly, وَلِعَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ, they get that category before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we have to be very, very careful. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in another hadith, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِ, and beware of speculation. فَإِنَّ الظَّنِ أَكْثَبُ الْحَدِيثِ, because speculation could be the worst of lies that you spread. So this speculating, oh, this is because of this, without any firm knowledge. It's also a form of untruth. You see all the different variations? We think that, no, I'm one of those who is in the category of being truthful. But you see, there's various gradations of it. If we just repeat what we hear, that can be in the category of lying. And another hadith yet still, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْجُلُوسِ, and beware a julus ala turuqat, of just sitting on the street. This is a common habit of many men, of old too, at the time of Rasulullah as well. You know, what do they do? People just sit on the roads and talk about the passers-by. Some people do it as a pastime in towns. You know, people would just sit on the porches and just talk about whoever's passing by. The Prophet warned about this. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَا لَنَا بُدٌّ مِّن مَجَالِسِنَا. And the Sahaba رَضْمَانُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, but we have to discuss matters sometimes, and our homes are too small. Where are we going to gather, if not on the porches or in the street, meaning main town, main street, wherever it is that men would gather. We have to discuss certain matters. So the Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَمَّا إِذَا أَبَيْتُمْ, well, in that case, فَأَعَطُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ, in that case, you have to give the right of the street. So the street has rights. What is that? قَالُوا وَمَا حَقُّهُ, they asked, well, what are the rights of the street, Ya Rasulullah? غَضُّ الْبَصَر, that you lower your gaze. كَفُّ الْأَذَى, you have to remove the harm, which means thorn. If you see somebody about to fall, you have to be the first one to get up and protect them. If you're one of those on the street, it's a right people have, that you have to get up if you see something about to happen. So this is why in Sham, the ulama, when they would walk in the public streets, they would wear the Moroccan type of jalaba, the men, which is a hood, and they would put it over. All of the men in Syria would wear that, the ulama. Why is that? Because the street has rights. What if they were in a hurry and they saw something happen? You have to stop and help. Or if it's something haram, they don't want to be called to the court because they don't want to be a witness to haram. That's why they would, and especially the ulama mentioned, when women stopped wearing hijab, all of the men of Syria started wearing the Moroccan jalaba, so they don't have to witness that, what the sins that are happening. So that's the right of the street. قَضُّ الْبَصَرْ كَفُّ الْأَذَى وَرَدُّ السَّلَامِ, and returning the salam. So if somebody passed by, you would have to say salam to each person. That's the right of the street. وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, you know that statement of enjoining good? If you're sitting on the street, you would have to do it. If you see somebody not following the deen, you would have to enjoin the good. وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and you would have to forbid the haram. All of these rights that people would have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا, O you who believe, if a fasiq comes to you, a disobedient one comes to you, verify the news he's giving you. Verify it. Again, don't just narrate it. And تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ, because otherwise you're going to harm other people with that news. فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ, and then you would become of those who are regretful because you passed on news without verifying first. Now you have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that we will not find in any other book anywhere on the earth how to spread, how to share knowledge. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiq. This statement is not written anywhere else in any book. O you who believe, if there comes to you a disobedient one. So do people of the earth say, oh, let's find out if Fauci is disobedient before we share his news, what he's saying? How many times has he changed what he said? Or Gates, have we found out what are his sins? Is he an obedient one? Or is he a disobedient one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a criteria to pass on, especially if something is questionable. Find out if that person is in obeisance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is that person a fasiq? So the Muslim is given this quality to render before sharing information. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, in ja'akum fasiqun binaba'in, with news. So if a fasiq, disobedient one, comes to you with news, fatabayyanu, find out, verify, investigate, and to see if it's true, and to sibu qawman, lest you harm a people, bi jahalatin, with this ignorance, fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin, and you become over what you have done, meaning spreading this false information, regretful, because now you have to answer on Yawm al-Qiyamah for sharing false information. So how many people have been sharing false information and adamantly sharing it without investigating? And those who were very careful, last year when this C-19 first came, many people who knew what was going on did it because they had already been verifying, investigating what the truth in this matter is for decades prior to speaking about it. So it's an important quality that we'll not find anywhere else in any book in the world. Before we share information, we investigate whether that person who's telling us is a fasiq or not. Now, we know that some people blamed Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha wa li'adhu billah, accused her of a grave lie, ifk, an injustice to her radiallahu anha. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about that? وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِئْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُحْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. And why, when you heard it, did you not say, it's not for us to speak about this? This is a great slander. So we Muslims are the ones who, when anything vile is reported about anyone, we don't repeat it. We say, we're not of those who are going to repeat this. We can't even talk about this. So we keep quiet. Yet the Jahili, this was the way of Jahiliya, just repeating whatever we hear. And it destroys society if we just repeat whatever we hear. It's how wars were started, especially in the Arab world. If they would just, they would get, because Arab people would get riled up very quickly. They're hot-blooded people, and they were very proud people. So if something was said about a woman of one tribe, they would kill the entire other tribe to protect the honor of one woman in their tribe. Without thinking about it, they would just move to kill the other, whoever is spreading such false information. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the prerequisites of sharing any news, information, or anything that we share with another person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا. This is a very important one. All of these statements by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously are imperative. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَنْ يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is enough to be called a liar if you just repeat whatever you hear. You know, if someone just goes from one place to the other, I just heard this, I just heard that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you're placing yourself in the category of a liar, because a lot of that is going to be lies. Did you find out if that person or that place that you heard that information was incorrect? This is what is going on right now. Everyone is speaking about whatever they hear, and the whole world is in disorder and difficult to find out who's speaking the truth. So the truth is on trial right now. But that is the one of the signs of the end of time, as we've just seen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, And this is narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Inna shaytana liyatamathalu fi surati rajul. Shaytan comes in the form of a human being in gatherings. Fayati al-qawma. So he comes within gatherings in the form of a human being. Fayuhadithuhum bilhadith min al-kadhib. And then he starts saying false information in that gathering. Fayatafarraquna. And then when people leave, depart from that gathering. فَيَقُولُ الرَّجُلُ مِنْهُمْ. And then one person says to the other, after they depart from that gathering to their next place of gathering, they'll narrate, سَمِعْتُ رَجُلًا أَعْرِفُ وَجْهَ وَلَا أَعْرِفُهُ. I heard so-and-so say in that gathering, but I didn't know who that was. Meaning, Shaitan came in the form of a human being, and then this person is narrating, I was just in a gathering, and I heard this being said by someone. سَمِعْتُ رَجُلًا أَعْرِفُ وَجْهَ وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ وَلَا أَعْرِفُهُ. So I saw his face, meaning he was before me, this person, but I didn't know who it was, but this is what he said. So meaning that was, so Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to the Sahaba, that was Shaitan. That's why you didn't know who it was. It wasn't amongst the people you knew, because as we know, Shaitan is a jinn, and he can come in the form of human beings. And it was a direct statement. This person was before me, I saw him before me, but I didn't know who it was. It was, so Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explaining, that was Shaitan coming before you, mixing in your gathering, and he's spreading false information. And now you're repeating it, narrating it. And how much Shaitan enjoys rumors being spread in the ummah. And the one who doesn't have a habit of lying are the ones who won't fall for it. So these are the differences between siddiq and kadhib. It can get very finite. Now most people think that we're protected from lying. We may all think and recognize, you know, I have to be weary of ghiba. And we all know we shouldn't do that. But we might think that we're fine in terms of this category. Because as we mentioned at the outset, every single nation and country and tribe throughout the history of mankind, from Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam to the tribes in the jungle, uncivilized, quote, end quote, regardless who a qawm are, criminals. Every single category of human beings recognizes that lying is something bad. But we don't put ourselves in that category. But when we see the small gradations of it, we can see how dangerous it really is. And in our time, it's a wild disease that has spread. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran as well, in Surah Al-Baqarah, actually, about these gradations and categories that we're speaking of. وَلْنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. We'll surely test you with something of fear and hunger and a loss of wealth and lives and production, but give glad tidings to the patient. So everyone feels that we're going through hardships that are difficult to handle, and we have to struggle to just keep up. Normally, we have strong feelings that you see in the masajid, you know, different people struggling in life. And, you know, when we see other people, we normally compare ourselves. Well, that person has no idea the struggles that I'm going through. And that person has no idea. So they may be coming and thinking, I'm fine, but I'm not. So we understand our own situation, but we forget and neglect to put ourselves, you know, what do we do, human beings? When we say, how come he didn't even, why did he say this to me? Doesn't he know what I'm undergoing? SubhanAllah, just assumed like, you know, nothing is going on. Because we're always thinking whatever we're undergoing is much harder than what the next person is going through at that time. And we're not the first people to go through this situation. Whatever the situation is, we are not the first ones to go through that situation. Throughout history, from the beginning of the world, people have faced difficulty. And all kinds of situation people have been propelled into. It existed before time, the difficulties on the earth. And we get a duplicate. There's nothing new. What we're seeing now with trials and with men, you know, there's a lot of trials with men. Saving males, you know, should be priority over saving whales. Although I know you like whales, Aiden. So we're not the first to go through this difficulty that we act like we are. This is the first time this kind of difficulty has happened, probably to anybody around. But not only is it happening to somebody in our time, it's happened in the past as well. Whether it's a personal situation or a public situation, whether it's with our children, our spouses, our relations, siblings, relatives, neighbors, supervisors, colleagues, acquaintances, our leaders, on an international level, even on a calamitous level, the calamities that we are seeing, the trials in terms of the weather, in terms of international relations, politics, all of this has happened in the world already. It's not new. The world has faced a similar, guaranteed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, that's what this statement, this ayah is. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُعِ That's the summary of it. We might think it's very specific what we're undergoing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ We will surely test you with something of fear, something of hunger, loss of wealth, of production, وَالْأَنْفُسِ in مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ A test within yourself and a test of your production. Well, what are we supposed to do? وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Give glad tidings to the ones who are patient. What is patient? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines those who are patient. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ What is the statement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? Sometimes we only think of this only when someone passes away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of those around us. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ If only the ones who are undergoing a hardship, when it happens, إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ When it happens, قَالُوا If they said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ It's like we heard it for the first time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ At that time of difficulty, فِي صَدْمَةَ الْأُولَى Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at that specific moment, which means if you happen to shriek in that moment of the hardship and you happen to call hundreds of people and say, you won't believe it, what's happening now? You won't believe it, what's happening now? That's not sabr. That's shrieking. That's asking for dunya for help. You might as well take a blow horn and say, dunya, help me. That's what we're doing when we're calling all kinds of people for help before asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ We've already said there's no one that goes through life that is not hit with musibah. No one gets through this world without a musibah. That's the definition. So it means everyone should find out, what are we supposed to do? بَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Glad tidings, someone who is patient, who says, at that moment, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Indeed, it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we belong, and indeed to Him is our return. أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَالرَّحْمَةِ Not only that, those are the ones whom blessings from their Lord are sent. What an amazing statement by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends blessings for the one who is patient and rahmah. That means that we get not only the gifts and the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we reward not only the reward, but we're given incredible gifts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for doing so. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُحْتَدُونَ. Not only that, those are the ones who will be rightly guided, meaning the solutions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also give the solutions to the ones who have patience at that time, which means the ones who don't have patience, this is why they continue to ask people of the dunya, because they're going to the wrong place. The solutions are not coming to them by not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fear of our family and this loss in property, wa anfus, within ourselves, all of this has happened to all of mankind and will continue to happen. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also explained, even a trifling, for instance, tripping over our shoelaces or the lantern going out is a musibah. So the Prophet ﷺ also explained, whether it's trivial or it's a travesty, that is a musibah, which means anyone who has a trifling of a problem or a travesty, may Allah protect us, of a problem, who has this patience, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and says it and internalizes this, then they have glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have rahmah pouring on them, salawat, blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also they are guided to the truth and guided to their solutions. What more could we ask for? So it means doing the sunnahs at that time, doing adhkar at that time, getting up for the tahajjud at that time. That is the definition of sabr. Now, that hardship either becomes a rahmah or a fitna. The musibah can become a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or it can become a fitna. There's nothing else that hardship will ever become. And it's up to us whether it becomes a rahmah or a fitna. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. We decide whether that musibah is a rahmah or whether that musibah is a fitna. And that's it. And the demarcation line is, if that musibah, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it, and we, meaning any dhikr, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, or any remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that time, rather than shrieking and turning to the dunya at that time first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, use that time to connect to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're choosing rahmah for ourselves. We're choosing guidance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're choosing to be given the solutions by Allah, not solutions from the dunyawi people. Isn't that all that we can ask for? Isn't that everything that we need? There is no other package that we can buy, no yes. other present yes. in the world yes. that we can find. Even if it's millions of dollars, we don't need to purchase that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us. Absolutely. Alhamdulillah. I should take you wherever I go, and then you can give me those emphatic statements. Barakallahu feekum. So we want to be the first ones to say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And people who practice dhikr are the ones. This is the secret. This is why we want to be around the ulama, the awliya. It's the secret in the dunya, and it's the secret in the akhirah. What is it that the people in the grave wish they could come back for? They're wishing they could come back just 1 second. Now, they can't make a prayer in 1 second, but what can they do in 1 second? They could come back and say, Subhanallah. They could come back and say, Allah. And they know that is worth more than the entire world and everything within it. If they could just come back and say one, Astaghfirullah, it means more than the entire world and everything that is within it. That is the value of this deen. if we can live it every single moment, then we have priceless treasures, and which every single believer we know has within their heart. And this is why Sheikh Abul Hasan Ash-Shadhili, Allah yarhamuhu, for example, said, if we could only see the light that emanates from the heavens to the heart of a believer, this pure nur that connects us to the heavens, subhanallah, we would have not even a moment of this forgetfulness of having sabr. We don't need anything else. There is nothing else we need. All the solutions within our heart, given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by his teachings, and he is alive in his grave. It's there, it's here for us right now to just take from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alhamdulillah. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ فِتْنَةً وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. So this is really what it means. Know that your wealth and your children can be a fitna. And this, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the grand matters. That's what it means. It means that these tests are going to be there. The musibah is going to be there. It's up to us to choose the rahmah from that test and not to make it a fitna and a burden upon ourselves. So when we use the word burden, it means we're choosing that burden. It's up entirely. What a magnificent deen that we have. That Allah is not even allowing us to say that there is a burden. No, it's up to us to choose the solution by having patience and taking rahmah for ourselves, taking gifts for ourselves for free. Bila shay. Oh Allah, forgive me for free. This is what the ulama of Sham used to say. Bila shay. Allah, forgive me for free. Allah, give to me for free. I don't have any qualities with me. Just give it to me for free. Who else can you say that to and have it given to us? Can you walk into somebody's house and say, give me something for free? They're going to call you a beggar. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that is the wisest one. Come to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, ilayya ilay, ilayya ilay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when he lived, tread upon the earth. He is saying that now, and he will say it in the akhirah, when we pass by his rawda, when we pass by his hawd. He says it now, when we pass by. May we be blessed to those who visit him and make ziyarah and continue to make ziyarah to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in akhirah, he will say it to us as we gather at the hawd. May we be of those who gather at the hawd and who are welcomed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ilayya ilay, come to me, come to me. And we have that now, that statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Come to me and take it. Take the blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and solve everything for yourself. So this is what we want to make a habit. I'll end with a short anecdote that is from the history books, not from the hadith books, which means that it's not, may not be sahih, but it's a good lesson. We love stories, narrations about Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam. There's lots of narrations throughout the Islamic legacy where people have seen him, Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam. So, who is mentioned in, as we know, Surah Al-Kahf, the teacher of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So, there's an anecdote about him that someone said to him, you know, someone who met him and said, you know, your dua is accepted. And he said, yes, that is true. That's people expect my dua to be accepted. So this man said, okay, I want to ask you for a very special dua. You know, when you meet someone very special, you think I should take advantage and ask for a very special dua. So this man thinks that he has come up with a really special dua. So he asked Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, I want you to ask Allah to keep all hardships away from me. And Sayyidina Khidr thought about it and said, there's no way I can ask for this dua. because it's never happened on the face of the earth that someone doesn't get a hardship. It's just impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared, we looked at the ayahs, the verses, all mentioned that no one can get through this world except by seeing musibah, even if it's just a trifling. That's the definition of Jannah. There's no musibah. So he said, I can't do that. This dua I cannot do. But this man kept begging Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam, you must do it. I want you to do it. I want this special dua for myself. So Sayyidina Khidr said, okay, fine. Let me think about it. So what I want you to do to help me out with this dua that you're asking me for, go and look around so that I can get an idea of what you mean. Go and look and travel the earth and look for someone you think is very comfortable, who has no musibah, no difficulty, because I can't capture it. I can't even think of what this is. So I want you, the burden of proof is on you. You know, in law, which in judicial matters, you know, the American court system, the majority of it, which I've had to study in the last year to just part the sea of untruths that is happening in law in terms of this coercing people to take the vaccines. It's absolutely illegal. But you know, one of the main definitions in law principles that they use, what is the statement of the court system they use? The burden of proof is on the claimant. That's from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they use this in the court system. So if you're claiming something, you have to be the one proving it, not the defendant. It's the one who is accusing that has to come up with the proof. And that's from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Al-bayinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yaminu ala man ankar. The burden of proof is on the claimant. And the one who is denying, all he has to do is take an oath and say, I deny this. He has to take an oath. All of law is based on this, even till this time. And it's Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's statement. We cannot even practice law without this statement. And it's used in the entire court systems in the world, taught by our master, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we have no justice on earth without this one statement by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't have a court system. We don't have a judicial system without the statement of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And especially now we're seeing it. In this time. Al-bayinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yaminu ala man ankar. The burden of proof is on the claimant and the وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرْ. The oath, all the defendant has to do is take an oath and say, I didn't do it or I did. The defendant does not have to prove what the accuser is saying. All courts in the world use this. So, and this is what we can use right now if anyone is coercing anyone to do something. The burden of proof is on you. Prove to me I have to take this vaccine. Prove it to me. You show me where that virus is. Is it isolated? And if so, by whom? No one can prove it. This is what Patrick King in Alberta, Canada used to prevent anyone from forcing him to take a vaccine. And anyone in the world can use that. And no one will be able to say anything to you if you really understand that it's coming from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can stand firm on that. So,
well, I never took a vaccine because I'm afraid I'll get hurt.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. MashaAllah, Tabarakallah. You're one of the wise ones, MashaAllah. Allah protect you from all harm and keep us all in Afia, keep you in Afia. So, going back to Sayyidina Khidr alayhi salam in this, telling this man, okay, the burden of proof is on you. Go find somebody who you think, in your definition, has no hardships, because I can't capture it, so I need to get a similitude so I can make dua for you. Give me the example tamathul, and then I will make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this man has a hard task, right? You have to admit, he has a very hard task. So he starts going out, knocking on doors and asking people. Well, actually, even before asking, he just observes from afar. He starts looking at different households, which is not hard to do in that time. You just go to different estates. People have to work in their farmland, and you could see.
Do you know why I never took fasting? Because my dad took it, and his arm really hurts. And I'm afraid I'll get super hurt.
MashaAllah. That's an easy definition. Good job, Aiden. Alhamdulillah. And no one can force a hurt on you. Alhamdulillah. So he starts looking at, and he thinks, okay, this person. Then he starts to see some nuances in his life, and he says, oh, wait a minute. He has some hardship there. It's this relation. Or he's toiling too hard. Look at that farm he has. He thinks it's so beautiful, that orchard he has. But he looks closer, and he sees he's working very hard. He's sweating. That's a musibah. I don't want to do that. And then he goes to the next household. So he starts looking, and he's saying, who doesn't have a musibah? So finally, he sees this one family who has a flourishing business, four sons, and everyone is working in order, in line. It seems to be very streamlined. All these four sons and their families also seem very happy. Everyone is doing what they're supposed to do. Like in America, they had good shows that depicted this, like, you know, the Waltons and really old programs from the 70s that depicted, you know, family life that is in order. Because, and usually what they depicted was the patriarch and the matriarch, the rest of the family obeyed. Something that is a forbidden word now, four-letter word that is forbidden. Obey, my God, don't say this. But even in America, in the West, people use that word to say this, you know, the matriarch and the patriarch, everyone comes to them for advice, and that is a sign of peace happening in that household. So not too far removed in our time. But anyway, so this man sees this huge estate, flourishing business, the sons and their families, everyone in line, in order, and wealthy, happiness, joy. That's what he thinks everyone is. And then he's about to use this example and take it to Sayyidina Khidr al-Islam. I've got it. I found the person. I want to for him to make dua for me to have this. So, and then he thinks, yeah, Aiden already has it. He says, no. He's shaking his head. Nope. There's something coming up. So he thinks, wait a minute. Before I go and ask Sayyidina Khidr, I better verify it. Right? Tabayyanu. Rasulullah said, verify it before you narrate it. So he goes, he thinks, let me ask this man first. Everything looks great. Everything looks in order. It's an idyllic, you know this word, idyllic. Even, so imagine a scenery in ex-urban America, for instance, a country home or some image, idyllic scenery of beauty on a mountain. And everything is in order. The birds are chirping. The family is in joy. Everyone is doing something, and they're happy-go-lucky about it. The children are skipping. So he thinks to go and ask the patriarch. Let me go ask him to make sure this is what I want to emulate.
That's wrong what to do.
Exactly. So he goes to ask the man, so you know, you look like you have everything. And I want to be just like you. And this man starts crying and immediately says, don't say such words. And he starts pouring his heart out. And he says, don't say such, you have no idea the hardship I'm in. And now this man is absolutely puzzled. Hardship? You have no idea the hardship I'm in. I would not wish what I'm going through upon anyone, he says. So, of course, he's astonished now. And so he starts pouring his heart out to him because it's a private conversation. He wouldn't tell this to anybody
That's
else.
That's really mean what to do to a little
girl. We'll get to that next. So, actually, that's true, Aiden. So he says, everything that you see is a cover-up. What you see, the, you know, my four sons, I'm covering up. And obviously, he told him in secrecy, do not repeat this to anyone. I'm covering up a crime of my wife, of adultery. These are not my children. I wish they were mine. These are children of adultery. But I don't want anyone to know. I wish they were mine. I don't know what that feels like. But I would never wish this upon anyone else. I wish this was being given to my own biological children. I don't know what that feels like. So we have no idea what the next person, and look at how many layers of protection Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving that person. And is look at that, what he did is not wrong, no, but he has hardships behind it, Aiden. It's a good question, you'll understand later when you grow up. You understood, alhamdulillah, the rest of the story, mashallah, without even, so that's good. That's all you need to know. So, subhanallah, there is always something going on with the next person. And our state is such that we always think we're in the hardship. Why is that person not calling? Simple things we say. Very ridiculous statement. Why is that person not calling me back? Do you even know what is happening on a given day to that person?
That's
how
weird.
Dare that person not call me back right away? Especially nowadays when we want instant callbacks. And have no idea. And just because we're able to, by technology, to be able to call back somebody in a second because they're across the world, does that mean that person has to?
No.
Does that person work for you?
No.
That they have to call you back? Absolutely not. Exactly. Are they your employee?
No.
Exactly. So we don't think about it. What is the situation? What is happening? Can you, if you don't turn on the FaceTime, can you see what is happening?
Nope.
Behind the screen? No, we're so addicted to the screen to give us proof what is happening. Even without the screen, there's tons of things happening across the world to whom you think owes you a callback at that time. And especially in the last year, how many people are helping, doing khidma to the person that may be having severe symptoms right before them, or being blocked from helping a person that is having severe symptoms because they're not allowed in the hospital. I mean, we all have such dire circumstances that we didn't even know could happen to us. Or last year, when we weren't allowed to go to a janazah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Some bodies were not washed last year. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Do we know what those families felt like?
No.
Exactly. May Allah protect us. So, and we also know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, so after seeing what musiba, the different variations, layers of it, know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ashaddu nasi bala'an al-anbiya." The hardships, the hardest hardships Allah gives to the anbiya, firstly. And then to his ulama, the awliya. He doesn't give to the awam. Out of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives to each one of us only what we can bear. We know this. Exactly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only gives us what we can bear. And we already have the solutions from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's teachings. It's for us to take what we want. Alhamdulillah for this deen coming in this beautiful package of everything being given to us in a treasure. In this treasure, we just open that trunk, take it out of the attic, this treasure chest, and take it for ourselves in our hearts. Place it in our hearts. This deen does not belong in the treasure chest like people wait for and look for in the attics. It belongs in our heart to keep alive until we meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and keep each other alive with his sunnah and remind each other about it. So the anbiya have the hardest hardships, then the awliya, and so on and so on and so on until it comes to us. The quotas are all doled out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perfectly in given out to those who can bear it, till the triflings come down to us, and here we are complaining about it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all harm and all hardships. We are weak. We do not want, we don't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for such hardships. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afiyah. This is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin ladhi ja'alta ismahu dawa'a wa riqahu shifa'a wa arafahu tiba wa jismahu ratiba wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تشفينا وسلم عليه سلاما يداوينا وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تجعلنا من الشاكرين لك عليه سلاما يداوينا وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تجعلنا من الشاكرين لك على الصحة والسلامة والعافية وتزيدنا من نعم العافية وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم يا باري الأدواء صلي على سيدنا الأنبياء اللهم يا شافي يا كافي يا مؤافي أذهب البأس رب الناس اشفي وانت شافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما يا الله grant us healing, a healing that leaves no trace of ailment upon anyone around us. اللهم إنا نسألك ونتوجه إليك بنبيك سيدنا محمد نبي الرحمة يا محمد إنا نتوجه إليك إلى ربي أن يشفينا ويعافينا ويحفظنا ويحمينا اللهم اشفه فيه وصلي وسلم بارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه اللهم استجب دعائنا ولا تخيب رجائنا وسلمنا من هذا الوباء وسلم أحبابنا بأسرار القرآن العظيم وجاء النبي الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة والتسليم وبأسرار سورة الفاتحة بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين آمين يا الله يا رحمن الرحيم جزاكم الله خير بارك الله فيكم.